Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask that you would use this time, this opportunity to be here in this place. Indeed, maybe to even be what we would consider on the mountain, to draw close to you, that you might reveal yourself to us. I ask that you would use my words, that they not be my words, that they would be your words. So we approach your throne of grace. Amen. A look of relief passed over the face of the girl named Kat. Kat with a toddler in the back seat of her 1998 Toyota Corolla. She said, "Thank you so much. It's nice to know that there are still people out there who are willing to help somebody out." Read any good books lately? As you might have noticed, I brought a few books that actually have made it into my library. All of but one I have read, and so I'm going to confess right now, because I'm doing another Bible study, I haven't quite got to the halftime part, but I'm looking forward to that. But I was not much of a reader growing up, and I think part of it is because reading and school were kind of like this, and I wasn't really excited about school. I'm confessing this now to all those who were students of mine. I was not real excited about school at the time, but I remember being away in college, and I fell in love with the Chronicles of Narnia and C.S. Lewis. And that's when I really started to realize, I really like this reading thing. This is okay. And over the years, I've discovered other books. And I've read some really cool books that have been instrumental in helping shape me and mold me, some very good instructional books. This Joining Jesus one has been foundational to some of my mindset and what I've been thinking lately. You know, this one has really helped me in my marriage. The How to Everything by Red Green. Okay, that's a joke. It's a joke. Raise your hand if you even know who Red Green is. Okay, if you know anything about duct tape, anyway, he's a Canadian dude, and I don't even know who our American version of Red Green would be. Nobody? There isn't one. When he made his Red Green show, they said, "Give me enough money that I can do something, but not enough money that you care what I do." And he had the Red Green show. But I think one of my favorite authors in recent times has been a fellow by the name of Donald Miller. And the first book I read by Donald Miller was called Blue Like Jazz. And I liked his style, a great storyteller. He wrote another book that I might refer to a little bit later called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. I loved it. It's talking about God writing stories in the lives of people. So I was thinking, what is it then, and I'm going to ask you, what is it that makes a good story? You don't have to raise your hand, you can just yell it. It draws you in. How does it draw you in? Likeable characters?
Overcoming big odds?
Odds, yes. Fast moving. One of the books I read recently, and those are all true, by the way, one of the books I read recently, I saw sitting on the teacher's lounge table about 2 months ago, and it was a free one. And I had heard about The End of the Spear, but I was just drawn to the story. You may remember it starts with the story of five missionaries who were killed in Ecuador by a tribe that was very savage at the time, that was just a hostile tribe. They tried to befriend them, and they died trying to befriend them. Rather than defending themselves, they actually choose to die. And God uses this incredible story of tragedy to bring one of the sons to come live with the tribe, to actually adopt one of the men who killed his father as his own grandfather. And it just tells this amazing story of grace. And that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about today, is about stories. Of course, we have a collection of books that has the greatest stories of all, right? And that's, of course, the Bible. Stories of Noah. Vuba, 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 ding, Noah. Sorry. Whew, Bill Cosby. I listened to that on vinyl over and over again as a kid. Stories of Moses. We heard a little bit about Moses today in our Old Testament reading. Stories of Job. Stories of Isaiah, Jonah, Ezra, Esther, Ruth. Amazing stories throughout the Bible that God uses to reveal who He is and reveal Himself to us. Not so much necessarily always to reveal truth, although that happens, but to reveal the very nature of who God is. And we see that in the New Testament too. Characters like Nicodemus, a guy who seeks Jesus at night. But at the end of his story, we see that he is in broad daylight taking Jesus off the cross. We see Zacchaeus. We see Mary, Lazarus. And in our gospel reading, we are again reminded of Peter, James, and John, having a special moment with God. When we take a book and a story, it's easy to look at it and get the big picture, because we tend to read it from beginning to end, and we get to the end of the story. Have anybody been watching Johnny Carson lately? Some of you, really, we watched it last night, and they had a gentleman on there, because they're playing reruns, right? They had a gentleman on there who was an author, and they asked him, how do you tell what a good story is when they come and bring you a manuscript? He says, well, I read the first chapter and the last chapter. I can usually tell what kind of story is, what the story is going to be like. And the problem we have in our own personal lives is that we don't necessarily get to the end of the story for a while. It takes a time. Paul Harvey, how many of you remember Paul Harvey? And that's the rest of the story. A couple years ago, he did a Super Bowl commercial that was amazing about a farmer. I got tears watching it because it was just, I've known you people, those farmers. There's some of you here today, and I believe what he said is true. But Paul Harvey used to tell that story, and then you'd get to the end, and he'd get to tell you the rest of the story. But for us, a lot of the stories we live are incomplete, at least right now. We're just in the middle of it. But God is using each and every one of our experiences to draw us into Him, to draw us closer. The challenge is, are we seeing these episodes or these chapters as doing that very thing? Are we fully aware? Are we fully awake that this is happening? We've got an example of being awake or maybe not being awake today in our gospel reading. And I'll have Shira go ahead and go to that. It says here, if you can follow along as I read. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that were with him. I have a question. When did the disciples become fully awake? I'm not sure the answer is right there. I think there is a time when they become fully awake, but I don't think it's here. Yeah, it's in Acts. It's after his death. It's when they actually see Jesus alive and living. We were in our Bible study again. It was like when those guys saw Jesus alive and walking and breathing and was in their lives. They saw him dead. They saw him alive. I think that's when they became fully awake. and fully aware that God was doing something miraculous in their life. So I ask the question for us then too. When do we become fully awake and aware that God is working in our lives? I don't think it can happen until we truly understand that Jesus is alive and rose from the dead. So in each personal life, we have to understand what Jesus did for us, that God was able to accomplish His plan of forgiving us of our sins through Jesus, that God created us to be with Him. You know, you've heard this, that in our sin we were separated from God, that we couldn't undo it by ourselves, but it took Jesus paying the price for sin. And when we are fully aware of that, then we can see life's events, life's stories being played out as part of God's plan much, much more clearly. When this happens, we have what we call a change in our mindset. Jesus is alive and working in this world, and He's alive and working in each one of our lives. But in order for us to be a part of the plan, we have to see it. We're not called to be Jesus' salesmen. We're not called to do the job for Him. We are called to be faithful and look for Him doing the work. He's doing the heavy lifting. And we are called to leave the mountain. Does anybody recognize that mountain? It's not Pilchuck. Wrong answer. I was looking for Dale. Three fingers. Can you pick out the people there? Dale, Mike, Riley, little Dale, Jared, and me. And that building at the top is the lookout at Three Fingers. I've been up there four times. Some of the most miraculous hikes I've ever had. Maybe my favorite, and I think, Ralph, you might be taking this picture, but I think my favorite was when you and I went up there by ourselves. Because I got scared going down that ice ladder, and I still have fingers that hurt from it. That's true. It's true. But what I find every time I go on a hike and I get to that summit, I have to come off the summit. I'm here now, right? I have to come off the summit. And it's true in our lives too, that we become, once we're fully awake though, we are still called now to go out and live out our faith. I just had a chance to go up and be a part of the DCE conference up in Leavenworth. I was looking forward to this conference since our last one ended. They've been that helpful and that good. I was anticipating it, and then I was up there, I was immersed in it. But the reality is, Thursday morning comes, and it's time to leave. And I was ready to go back down into the valley. And that's what it is with us too. We're here. I hope you came with expectations this morning to have an encounter with God, so that something would happen here that would inspire you maybe to see the stories that God's working in your life and to live out your faith in your everyday life. I don't know, do we have another picture? I took this last week. You guys recognize it? I've seen that many, many times. And I put it up there as a reminder. This is a really cool place. I love being here. I love being with all of you. But the reality is that in about 45 minutes, an hour, maybe two, that's going to happen. Actually, on my drive home, I had other pictures, but I don't know that I don't think I put them in there. Did I put any other pictures in there? Because there's another church right on my way home that has their gates closed. I went by a couple other churches. Their parking lots were empty. And what it reminded me of is that although this is a really important place and we need to be here, we need each other, God's called us to do that. We're also called to go out and leave this place and be ready to do His work. That's where the rubber meets the road, where the work really happens. Where the boots hit the ground, that's what we're called to do. So we change our mindset. When we become fully awake, we take joy in the journey. There's great joy and relief knowing that the story ends with Christ and that He's writing the story. There's still going to be suspense. There's still going to be uncertainty. There's still going to be cliffhangers. There's going to be victories and defeats, and questions will go unanswered this side of heaven. But we know who's in charge. Something going on later today. Oh yeah, there's a football game going on. And wouldn't it, I mean, what would it be like if like the Seahawks knew when they played today that they were going to win? Oh, I'm sorry. When the Patriots were playing, okay, all right. What would it be like for Denver if going into the game, before the game even started, they knew the end result, they would have more points and would win the game at the end? No matter what happened in the game, how would they approach that game? Would they have any fun? Yeah. I mean, it may take some of the suspense out, but they would enjoy the game. Isn't that with us? We know the end of the story. We know God's written us our name in His book of life. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be hurts and hardships along the way, but we're called to enjoy the journey, to take joy in the journey. Knowing that Jesus is writing our story and the story of those that are around us makes it easy for us to partake and to get involved, to become fully awake and join Him. And in doing so, we share God's love wherever we can. It may not always come with us giving a gospel presentation. It may come with us saying, "Hey, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Can we pray about that?" It may come with us doing something simple like a handshake or just being present and not saying anything. Those events in our lives are called to be continued episodes. I asked our class today, what is that literary term when something is to be continued? It's called an ellipse, an ellipsis. What does it look like? Does anybody know? Dot, dot, dot. I use that all the time and I never knew what it was called. But we have encounters every day with other people that are ellipsis encounters. God has encounters with us too that are the same way. They don't seem to maybe have an ending. They have a to be continued. But then again, aren't we God's work in progress? We can allow God to continue working. And then finally, it allows us to, I just put this up there, because that's an ellipsis moment, right? A to be continued moment. Well, the cool part in that is we're still there. I missed that truck, though. But we're still there in that community. We're still finding ways to do that. A couple, last Thursday, there are people right here who went and helped out at Ebenezer, and we did a community meal. And who knows what happened with that, but I know I had some pretty cool conversations, and I know the people that were there had some cool conversations. Those are God using moments in time to write some part of story for someone else and for us. And we learn to embrace those and to enjoy them. The last thing is that we can learn to actually write a better story. God's the writer, but He has called us to look for opportunities to be involved. You know, I started out reading a story to you, and this was actually a story that was shared with me at conference. And so I want to kind of just paint that picture for you again of what those dot 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 moments, those ellipsis type mission moments can be like. And I'll read it to you. It says, "I was getting ready to head up to the youth leaders conference in Leavenworth. It had been a frantic morning already, trying to get everything I needed to be done before I could leave. My last stop was Fred Meyer, fuel and snacks, and I'm gone. Just when I was finishing up fueling, a nicely dressed woman approached me and said, "Excuse me, sir, I don't know how to ask this, but I'm trying to get down to Seattle to be with my mom, and I don't have enough gas to do that. Would you be able to help me with some gas? I can even buy you something at the window with the food stamps I have." I'm usually pretty leery being approached like this in a public place, but something felt a little different. "Let me finish here," I said, "and I'll come over and see what I can do." So I finished, and when I was over there, the woman was a little bit nervous standing by her car. She had a 2-year-old snuggled up and buckled in the back seat of her car. "What's his name?" I asked. "Dylan. He's 2. "My name's Alan. What's yours?" "My friends call me Cat." I finished filling her car with gas. There was a look of relief that came over this girl named Cat, who had the toddler in the back seat of her 1998 Toyota Corolla. I could tell that the whole episode was not easy for her. "Thank you so much. It's nice to know that there are still people out there who are willing to help someone out." Then the girl named Kat came over, gave me a big hug. "Thank you so much. Your kindness will not be forgotten." Something powerful had just happened. ... Afterwards, I worried that maybe I should have done more. I could have checked her oil. Maybe I could have brought up Jesus. I should have at least offered a prayer for safe travel. It seemed I should have done more. But there was no gas station baptism or even a solid gospel presentation. And so, the mission story of the girl named Kat with the girl in the back seat of her car remained unfinished. It's a cliffhanger. I can't tell you how her story ends because, well, it's still being written. And it's being written by Jesus. All I can tell you is that on this particular episode and how it ended, the girl named Kat said thank you to a guy who was even more bewildered and thankful that God allowed him to join him in writing her story. That's what it means to be a missionary for Jesus. To be ready to live out the ellipses of life. And remember, Jesus is doing the heavy lifting. All we need to do is to join in. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you've given each and every one of us the opportunity to join you in your mission. More importantly, you are writing in our own lives. Lord, I know there is stuff going on that I would struggle to have happen to me in my life, and yet they're happening in the lives of those here today and in the family of our loved ones. Remind us that you are there in the midst of those valleys. Remind us that you walk with us, that you empower us, and that your Holy Spirit will help us to learn and to gain from even those things that hurt us. Help us to take to heart when you say, "All things work to the good of God for those who love God." Lord, we ask that you would help us to leave this place, to be changed, to be transformed, so that we can live out our love that we have for you as we reach to others. We pray this in your name. Amen.